Censorship is the tool of those who had the need to hide actualities from themselves and from others. Their fear is only their inability to face what is real, and I can't vent any anger against them. I only feel this appalling sadness. Somewhere in their upbringing, they were shielded against the total facts of our existence. And this week's opening quote comes from Charles Bukowski. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it's nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen, after 2 weeks off the show. I actually had 1 week traveling and 1 week that I actually just took off, which was amazing. It was the first week that I've had off in the 10 years since I started the show. Last week, I didn't do anything. I didn't answer any emails. I didn't do any research. I just went down the beach and I walked in the park and I walked in the mountains and I went to some waterfalls and I enjoyed life, and it was an amazing thing to do, something that I haven't done for a very long time. But thank you very much for allowing me to have that space and to have that week off after the 19 months of travel that I've just done. It's been quite a grueling couple of years, ladies and gentlemen. But it's good to be back in Australia, and it's good to have a little bit of focus again, and I intend to spend the next few months mainly working on the films and attempting to get that information out to people as quickly as possible. In regard to the opening quote, the concept of people approving of censorship because they've been shielded from the facts of their existence, the truth of the matter is, if we really look deeper at the picture, is that virtually everybody has been shielded of the true facts of their existence, whether they approve of censorship or not, because there is so much about this world and about our history and about who we are that has been shielded from our existence right since the very beginning. Very interestingly, the last few shows that I've been doing, I've been focusing a little bit on history and the fact that our history has been hidden from us. And quite remarkably, as soon as I got home from the United States and Europe, I got offered to travel again virtually immediately next month back to Europe to do a TED Talk. And this TED Talk is to be held in the Azores, which is a place where there are numerous sunken ruins off the shore. So as much as I really don't like traveling, I'm seriously considering going and doing this talk simply so I can go and investigate the sunken ruins off Pica. Oh, the irony that I would travel home from Europe only to get offered to go back to Europe and to really not want to be going back there, to have the carrot of sunken ruins hung out to entice me right when I am researching the sunken ruins. Very interesting the way the universe works. And as I pointed out to you recently, folks, all of the oceans are actually full of sunken ruins. There are sunken ruins throughout the Mediterranean and sunken ruins to be found all over the world. And as I mentioned a few shows ago, and as I alluded to in my 2005 book, Earth's Forbidden Secrets, I would suggest that the Atlantean culture, or perceived to be the Atlantean culture, was in fact a worldwide culture. It wasn't simply an island that sunk. It was a worldwide culture that existed quite recently, certainly not anywhere near as far back in antiquity as what we are told. In fact, none of the ruins that we are told come from antiquity really appear to actually come from that time. They actually appear to be quite more recent than anything we would consider to be antiquity. And as I've also alluded to quite recently, it would very much appear that history has been changed and that at least 1,000 years has been added to our history. And I'm not the only one saying this, and it's actually quite refreshing to find so many other researchers that are also suggesting this to be a possibility. And it's actually a very empowering thing to consider when one realizes that government actually hasn't been around for that long. And it also explains why things have been able to progress so quickly since what we know as the Industrial Revolution. You know, things have really snowballed in the last 200 years, most especially in the last 50. And it's easy to see why they've gotten so close to the digital lockdown that they're rolling out now, how they've been able to do it. And it really is rolling out fast, folks. And if you haven't got a handle on how fast it is rolling out, then I do suggest you look at what's going on in China with the social crediting system and what they've just rolled out in Estonia, which is actually quite freaky. And there was a great video actually put out by Truth Stream Media called Bilderberg and the Digital New World Order. And I really couldn't say it any better than they said on that video. I've actually got it featured on my homepage on thecrowhouse.com, and if you're listening to this show on YouTube, I'll make sure to link it in the description below. But it was a really good video that showed exactly what he's rolling out in Estonia, which really is the digital lockdown in every aspect you can think of, where every single aspect of your life is being attached to a single card, which you need to do virtually anything in Estonia. And that's the way we're going, folks. That's what they're hoping to roll out in all of our countries. And it really is rolling out very, very quickly. And it seems like they've been able to achieve it in sort of lightning speed. But when you consider what I was saying about history before, consider the fact that history was very likely changed 150 or 200 years ago, then it becomes easy to see how they could have achieved this so quickly. Because it really hasn't been this gradual progression that's just escalated over the last 200 years. It's been an ongoing thing. It's been a ever-repeating cycle. And it seems like it's all run according to a definite plan. And they probably do it this way every time. And when I say every time, as I alluded to a few shows ago, there's every indication that cataclysms don't happen every few thousand years, but possibly happen every few hundred years, whether they are natural disasters or whether they're brought about by design, it would appear that they are quite a regular occurrence, and that each time there's a disaster, they just feed a new history to the new batch, and they continue on with the strip mining operations, however they're doing it. They just take it to the next level every time, and they wipe out every trace of the previous civilization, and they appear to have done this a number of times before, at least once or twice that we can identify anyway. And these would be what would be perceived to be the sinking of Lemuria and Atlantis.
And I know there may be people who dispute the existence of those places, but as I said, we have located many, many sunken ruins beneath the ocean, and there is legends of at least those two civilizations existing before. So it's at least two that we know of that simply aren't here anymore. But really, when you look at the world, the problem is that there's every indication that they didn't disappear thousands of years ago, but possibly only hundreds of years ago. And look, there are very likely more than just two. I mean, we've got civilizations such as the Rama Empire that existed in the region of India and Asia, which was all kind of one country. When you look at the ancient maps, you find that the areas of India and Russia, Mongolia, all of these places were virtually one big giant country. Then over to the left of that, you had Tartaria up the top, and then you had Europa next to that, which incorporated Germania and France and all these other countries that were all part of Europa. And looking at these civilizations, you've got to wonder whether these were separate from the Atlantean civilization or whether they were civilizations that existed contemporaneously with the Atlantean civilization. Certainly when you look at the Ramayana and you look at some of the legends that are written in these books, there appears to be some sort of a conflict that happened between these two civilizations some time ago. But anyway, I'm getting off on a bit of a tangent. The point is that there were ancient civilizations, and there is every indication that these civilizations did not exist in the vast reaches of antiquity the way we're told. I mean, they may have existed then, they may have begun then, but they appear to have all existed contemporaneously and possibly existed right up to quite a recent point. And they weren't destroyed many eons ago, but actually fell into demise quite recently. And why don't we know about any of this? Well, we don't know about it because we are legislated not to know about it. In fact, every problem that we have in society today exists because it is legislated to exist. That's the problem, folks. We have a multinational, multi-generational criminal gang masquerading as government in all of our countries. These people are the ones who are running the world. They're all working together, and they are all part of the same crime family. These people hide history, they obfuscate the truth in every manner that they can, they manufacture wars, they manufacture terrorism, they manufacture the threat of instability in all of our countries, they manufacture the concept of overpopulation, global warming, all of the stuff that they feed us, none of which is true, and they do it all as a means of controlling the population. Running this people farm that they're running. And that's the thing, folks, you know, once you really step onto the path of being an activist and you start looking at the problems, identifying the problems that we face as a society and attempt to locate the source of those problems, when you really look deep enough, you find that they all have a common source. And the reason that all of these problems exist is because they are legislated to exist. And until people factor that into any activism that they are attempting, any attempt that they're making to improve the world, until they factor into the equation the reality that the world is run by criminals to do all of this stuff very much on purpose, then they're just not going to get anywhere. You see, the problem is that all of our institutions are compromised, like so compromised right to their very core. And if politicians ever get in there, I mean, anybody of any repute, anybody of any integrity actually gets in there, then you find that he's surrounded by advisors who are all working towards the same agenda. So he's not getting the right information. So he doesn't really know what to do anyway. It's all controlled, folks. And it comes from all aspects of our lives and all aspects of our society. It really does. The education system, most especially the media. You know, people have to really get it into their heads and let it sink in that all media is controlled and that both sides of all political stages are controlled. Like I said, even if someone of integrity gets in there, then all of his advisors are controlled. All the information that he gets given is filtered. There are so many levels above president or prime minister in any country. And the whole thing is basically run by banking institutions that have infiltrated everything, folks. And whether these are the guiding hand that controls the whole thing, you know, whether you want to buy into the whole concept of Weishaupt and the Illuminati and the Rothschild banking system controlling it all. I mean, sure, the Rothschild banking system and the Zionist vision is a big part of it, but is that really the controlling hand, or is there something behind that? I mean, certainly it is the interface that we can deal with. You know, government is the interface that we've got to get at the workings behind government. And the workings behind government is, of course, banking. And what the workings are behind that, well, really, it's the mindset, and it's who or what controls that mindset. I mean, certainly Zionism is a big part of it, and the Zionist vision has a lot to answer for. And on the other side of the spectrum, I'm sure the religionists will have a wonderful time explaining it, and they may be right. Who knows? But for my part, I prefer not to take any particular side on that. I think the main objective should be the establishment of freedom. That way we won't have to argue and debate about who they are, in inverted commas. Because as I've said so often, ultimately, you know, you can prove it's anybody you want to believe, and that's the point. That's why they've put all the information out there, so that there's so many different people having so many different focuses on so many different issues and pointing their finger at so many different people that it just all becomes counterproductive. Divide and conquer is the motto, and it works really well. You know, they do it with nations, they do it with races, they do it with genders, and they also do it with the resistance movement. And as I've said so often, folks, you know, we can label all of these things. We can point our finger at all these organizations such as Zionism and all the problems that it does. I mean, obvious problems that it creates. We can look at the whole Illuminati plan that's always been in place, and we can see how it's progressed. And people who deny the existence of the Illuminati, well, it's a plan that was put forth and was well exposed when it was put forth. And the plan that was outlined seems to have been right on the money and is an ongoing thing. So there's no doubt that there is a small group of people that are controlling things, and their objective is ultimate slavery of everybody else, the establishment of a one-world government, all the stuff that we talk about. And again, there's no doubt that the influence that Zionism plays over everything as well. But, you know, when you look at all of the controlling mechanisms, the media, the education system and everything, the education system really has a lot to answer for as well, because the education system is not designed to educate. It's not designed to stimulate intellect in people, to stimulate creative potential in people. It's designed to train people. It's designed to indoctrinate people. And most importantly, it's designed to instill into them an unquestioning belief in authority. And that is the real problem. You know, because with all the mechanisms that are there, whether it's the banking system, whether it's government, whether it's Zionism, whatever it is, all of it is held up because we support it because of this ridiculous superstition that we adhere to, which is this unquestioning belief in authority. You know, our belief that there are those who have a higher intellect than us who should be allowed to run things for us, and those who are running it, their belief that they should be allowed to do so because their belief that they are truly the ones who possess the higher intellectual qualities. when really it's not true. They just simply have access to different forms of education than everybody else, and they are taught how to manipulate the masses. And that's exactly what they're doing. And it's exactly what they've always done ever since they managed to maneuver themselves into a position of power. And from that position of power, they've been able to co-opt virtually everything else, even the intellect that does exist in general society. You know, if they see someone in school who excels in a certain way or has certain attributes that they find attractive, they can offer them scholarships, bring them into their fold, as it were, and train them to think the way they want them to think. Of course, there are certain people who slip through the ranks, certain free thinkers who simply rebel against the school system and leave very early, and so they never get co-opted and never get programmed in that way. But this is how they do it, folks. Very, very powerful people that are able to control virtually every aspect of our lives and are able to monitor the education system so they can pick up those with any degree of intellect and ensure that they are brought into the fold or that they are marginalized in life so that they're never in a position to be able to cause any trouble. Of course, it become a little difficult for them with the internet whereby anybody's got a voice, but this is the plan. Again, very powerful people controlling a very key aspects of our life and our societies. And all very much done by design and all very much part of a very long-term plan. And what we really have here, folks, as I've said so often, is a cacistocracy of career criminals. And we're not going to find any remedy to this human situation until we identify that fact and identify the reality that it is these people and this influence that these people hold over all governments, which is the sole source of all wars and all of the problems that we currently face as a human species. It's all been manufactured, it's all been brought about by design, and it is all leading towards a very, very specific goal. That goal being complete and utter human enslavement, which is what we are seeing rolling out now with the smart grid, simply because, again, people are failing to question authority, they're failing to question the actions of their government, and they're simply rolling over on command and doing what they're told because they don't know any other way. They don't realize the real power that they have, and it is their simple compliance to this system which creates the entire matrix that enslaves them. And really all they have to do is turn away from it. Turn away from the system and embrace life. Embrace your neighbors. You know, way back in the beginning when I first started this show 10 years ago, I said the most important asset you've got is the people around you and how important it is to establish strong ties in your community, to put common unity back in community, because ultimately we are all in this together. And what is happening here is a war that is being waged against the people by the criminal class that is masquerading as a government. And when we can identify that and stop squabbling amongst each other, we might get a little bit of remedy to this situation. But we need a reasonable human response to do it. It needs to be an intelligent response. And it doesn't need to be a violent response. It can be a peaceful response, simple non-compliance to the system. That's all we really need to do to realize that we are the ones that hold it up and to realize that all we're dealing with here is just people. Even if it is Rothschilds and bankers and politicians or whatever it is behind it, our interface is people. And we can deal with them by dealing with them on a human level. But in order to do that, we first have to rediscover the humanity in ourselves. You know, divide and conquer is truly the greatest tool that is ever used against us in any situation. It's what's been used against us so many times in so many situations. And as I said, it is something that is most definitely at play in the resistance movement. And it's been very sad to see. It's been very sad to see how many people are promoting division, how many people are promoting distrust, how many people are questioning any researcher who thinks any way different to themselves and are suggesting that such researchers be distrusted. You know, people have access to different information, and often people get stuck down rabbit holes. People find something that resonates with them, and they look for stuff to back it up, and they get stuck down these rabbit holes, and they go down this pathway, and they get to what they believe the logical conclusion is. And it may well be quite a logical conclusion according to the information that they've looked at. But then there's other people who have looked at other information, and they've come to what is the logical conclusion of that information. And then they end up in conflict with each other, not realizing that it's all part of a bigger play.
Now, all of the people that we point to as controlling hands are all part of it. All of the institutions that we point to are all part of it. Even if they don't know they're part of it, very often they are part of it. Even politicians who don't know they are part of it, they are part of it simply by entering into the political arena because it is so controlled. But it's very sad to see the amount of distrust and division that is promoted by the independent media and by the resistance in dealing with all this. Now, people who are researching all this should see just how much they are being played, and they should realize just how controlled everything is. They should realize that all these divide and conquer mechanisms are put there, and they should be able to really step back and look at the bigger picture and look at what the ultimate goal is, which is freedom. And they should be working towards that. Well, that's what I think would be a more productive outlook anyway. You know, promoting distrust and division simply because other people think different to the way you may think is not really achieving anything, because all the little people out there aren't part of some grand plan. Many of them are just voices speaking, such as myself. You know, we're just voices that are speaking, people that can see a bigger agenda, can see a better way, and have chosen to speak about it while we have the opportunity to do so. I mean, it's good that there's so many people doing that, but like I said, so many people have so many different perspectives, and that's okay. It's okay for people to have different perspectives. It doesn't make them the enemy, because ultimately the real problem is the system itself and our willingness to hold the system up. And while we continue to squabble amongst each other and point the finger at each other, we're not really going to achieve any remedy to this situation. Now, it's all one big play, ladies and gentlemen, and it's all been constructed to be that way. And it's so obvious that it really does disturb me that so many others can't really seem to see it that way. The issue being, of course, the rollout of this smart grid and the digital prison that is going to ensue when it really does come in place. And as I said, this is being rolled out in spectacular form now in Estonia. We're also seeing it been taken to ridiculous degrees in China, and they're attempting it in India as well. And you can see it in all of our societies as well, just happening more gradually, more slowly. Of course, they can't do a blanket rollout the way they've done in China, the way they've done in Estonia, the way they're trying to in India, because there would be a little bit more of a backlash if you tried to do it in somewhere like the United States. But you see the gradual push towards this cashless society. You see more and more people refusing to use cash, refusing to accept cash, which, by the way, is actually against the law, refusing to accept legal tender as payment of debt. I mean, if law is real, then why isn't that being adhered to? But that's another story. But we're seeing this pushed further and further in all Western countries. We're seeing it on the transport systems, on the airline systems, on transit systems all over the world, a removal of cash. And so they gradually push you into this, whether you want it or not. And of course, with the rollout of the 5G, the LED street lamps, the whole blanket rollout of the EM towers that are going everywhere, we're seeing this coming online everywhere anyway. It's just being done more gradually. And if you really want to look at it a little bit deeper, folks, it's actually quite telling that they're rolling out the 5G system before they are introducing the more digital cashless system or the social crediting system such we've seen in China, because they can roll it out in China and the people won't really complain. But if they try to roll it out in the United States or England, people will complain. So they need to put the whole 5G system in place first, because the 5G system is an active denial system. They need to put the whole mechanism in place to be able to blacklist you digitally right now and lock you out completely before they are able to announce it to the public. You need to put the prison walls in place before you announce the prison. And that's kind of the way they are playing it in the United States. It's the way they're playing it in England, Australia, and all of the most developed countries. They're trialing it in some countries, such as Estonia. And really, when you look at it, the countries that they're doing it to, it's kind of extremist models designed to test the system. I mean, they control the facial recognition system and the social crediting system in China because the people are far more compliant, and it would be a far more effective system and a far more efficient system if it was designed to identify Chinese people, because they are quite similar-looking people. And in India, they are trialing the cashless society, and they're rolling that out blanket across the nation because India is completely chaotic. So if you can get away with it in India, then you're going to be able to get away with it anywhere. And in Estonia, they are trialing the entire one card system and the whole smart
country because it's a small enough population to get away with it. Incidentally, Estonia is also offering world citizenship to anybody who wants to become an Estonian citizen. Think about that one, folks. You can live in Australia or the United States or Europe or anywhere around the world. You can set yourself up as a Estonian e-citizen and you can run your online business out of Estonia. That's the way they're working it out. So they're making it very attractive to bring people into this whole new cashless smart grid under the guise of having wonderful new business prospects. That's what it's all about, folks. It's all about profit. It's all about the economy. That's what we've been taught to believe, that that's what we need to govern our lives by, how good our business practices are. And really, it's business practices that have brought the world to the state that it's in today. It's business practices that have brought the human race to their knees. It's people's fixation on the economic model, which has created the problem to begin with. The fact that everything we do and every action we perform has an economic value attached to it. And it's just getting worse and worse the further we move into the smart grid. And that, of course, is what it's all about, folks, attaching an economic value to every action everybody performs. And, of course, it's illegal to feed homeless people, it's illegal to feed starving people, and it's illegal to be homeless. So they make you pay for every aspect of your life, and then when you can't pay or you complain about it, they blacklist you, they force you into the prison system, and they gradually depopulate the planet that way. Just by squeezing those who will not comply out of the system. That's why it's important that people stop complying now while we still have a chance to do so and to get some accountability from the politicians who are controlling it. Because once it all goes to AI, there's not going to be anyone to hold accountable for any of this situation. We're just going to be controlled by what the AI says we should do. And that will be a very, very dangerous situation for humankind to find themselves in. But unfortunately, that is where we're being led because too many people simply aren't paying attention. And there's a lot of good stuff on the horizon, a lot of good things, a lot of promising futures unfolding, but people aren't seeing what is underlying it, which is the IoT, the social crediting system, and the cashless control grid that will run it all. But folks, I think we have reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so it may seem strange encouraging people to stop complying now and to speak out now, but really now is the time people need to do it because we are fast losing the window of opportunity with which to do so. You know, every action that is being mounted against government is now being stomped on pretty quickly if it's an individual doing it. So you really do need the strength in numbers when attempting any action. Any attempt to question the government against their own insanity is also being stomped on. We've seen this recently with the arrest of Ilahi Priest in Australia, who was speaking out against the government programming of gender fluidity. You know, the concept that there are more than two genders, folks, so you can decide on what gender you want to be. You can decide you're a woman if you're a man. You can decide you're a man if you're a woman. Or you can decide that you're anything in between. This is actually insanity, folks. This is the government promoting insanity. Gender fluidity is insanity because there are only two genders. It doesn't matter what your sexual preferences may be or what you want to get up to behind closed doors. There is still only two genders that exist in the human species, and that's just the way it is. So promoting gender fluidity and the concept of gender fluidity is actually promoting insanity. And here we have people who are speaking out in a sane way against this type of insanity now being arrested and placed into mental institutions and having their own sanity questioned for daring to demonstrate any degree of sanity. This is what we've seen in the case of Ilahi Priest. Whether you agree with the man's political viewpoints and whether you agree with his philosophies is irrelevant. Freedom of speech is freedom of speech, and having an opinion is simply having an opinion, and voicing that opinion should be allowed. And for the government to be arresting people for simply voicing an opinion shows a very, very dangerous future that we are being led into, especially when it is for the issue of speaking out against gender fluidity, which is, as I said, simply a case of the government promoting insanity as being normal. Because there are only two genders, and if you have a problem with that and you disagree with that, I suggest you have a look inside your pants and have a look between your legs, and you'll soon find out which one you belong to. And as I said, this is irrelevant of what you choose to get up to behind closed doors or what you choose to identify yourself as. You may be a man that wishes to identify yourself as a tree if you want to, but that will not change the fact that you're actually a man.
Although soon within the parameters of the system, perhaps that differentiation will also be gone, soon you will just be a number with the rollout of the smart grid the way they wish to do. And it is so important that people refuse to comply with the smart grid. When they come and they want to issue you with your ID card, tell them you don't want one. And if they inform you that you'll be locked out of certain services if you do not accept the ID card, well, then point out to them that being locked out of certain services will cause harm against society, and that is not what government is employed to do. And so you'd like to know which politician enacted the legislation requiring you to have one, because that legislation is causing harm, and you'd like to have that politician identified so you can press charges against them for abuse of office, because they are in abuse of the office that they hold, and they are committing crimes by causing harm against the community. And how are they doing this? Well, they're doing it by delegating themselves powers that they have no right to have, that are not delegated to them by the people, and threatening people with hardship if they do not comply to these regulations. This is essentially criminal racketeering, and we do not support criminal racketeering. We do not support government abuse of office. We do not support being locked down into a system that we do not want and do not require. This is what needs to happen. People need to say, no, we will not accept your smart card because we refuse to support organized crime. And government is organized crime, so therefore we refuse to support government by default, and we require you, the police officers, to do your job and arrest the criminal politicians or be subject to summary arrest yourselves, because we, the people, are now walking away from this system in mass, and that is simply what we're going to do. And if you attempt to stop us, then we'll go and pick up our pitchforks and take the country back. We are going to do this because you are simply leaving us no option, so that's where the cards have fallen. And that's what the human race needs to do. It's time for people to get motivated and start pushing back against the criminal cacistocracy masquerading as government that is enslaving them into a digital lockdown. And is any of that going to happen? Well, probably not in my wildest dreams, but that is certainly what I would like to see happen. You know, the problem is that people just don't realize how easy it would be for them to step away from this system. They don't realize how easy it would be to simply stop complying with it and do something else. You know, it's fascinating that people cannot understand that it is just this respect for authority that holds the entire matrix up. And people are just scared to speak out. People are scared to disobey authority, scared to not show the respect that the authority demands. And the reason is because they live in disunited communities. You know, if one person stands up and does all the things that I just outlined, they will probably get knocked on the head and swept under the carpet and washed out of society quicker than you can snap your fingers. But if the people with that mindset were to unite with the people around them and to empower the people around them, and the entire community was to stand up and say this, the politicians would have absolutely nowhere to go. That's the problem. You know, you can put forth these ideas and put forth these concepts of personal empowerment, and people say, yeah, that sounds great, but they're too scared to do it. And it's understandable that they're too scared to do it, and you would have to be stupid to do any of that stuff by yourself, like I just said. You would, because they'll just bang you on the head. But if you can inspire the people around you to stand up with you, then we have a fighting chance. We have a way out of this mess, because we could step away from it in one day if people just chose to stand up for themselves. Now, again, they need the community to do it. That's the problem. You know, and everyone is so scared. Everyone wants to see someone else do it first, and they want to step back and wait and see if he's going to get knocked on the head before they will stand up and back him up. And, of course, he'll get knocked on the head if he does it on his own. But if they were to stand up with him to begin with, and the entire community was to stand up, then the government would have nowhere to go. That's the thing, you know, put common unity back in community and we can solve all the problems. You know, and get a little bit of humanity back in ourselves. Because when we get back in touch with that real humanity, there's all sorts of ways out. There really is.
Now, we can take all sorts of steps against this, folks, if we can just remember who and what we are and treat the people we're dealing with as people like ourselves. I mean, when they do come and they offer you your smart ID card, ask them why your name is spelled in all capitals, because it doesn't appear to be a valid form of English, and why are they putting a debased form of text on your card, which is illegal for them to use, and explain to them that by claiming that text as your own, you are committing fraud and therefore trapping yourself within the jurisdiction of the state and their misuse of maritime admiralty law, and ask them why they are also attempting to apply a military title to your name, thereby entrapping you within military jurisdiction when you are not part of the military, because the title Mr. or Mrs. or Miss are all military terms. A real human being has no title. Why are they attempting to issue a card to you which is designed to entrap you? Could they please spell your name correctly? And if they're not going to, then point out to them that as disturbing as it may be to you to have to do so, you are unfortunately going to be left with no other choice other than to press charges against them for using a debased form of text and attempting to entrap you with it, because it's illegal to use dog Latin, which is what the all capitals text is. But nobody ever asks this question when they're given an ID card. The people just say, oh, well, that's the text we're required to use. You say, well, that's fine if you're required to use it. I'm just letting you know that it's a debased form of text and you're breaking the law by giving me this card, and I'd like to take legal action against the person who insisted that you use this text. Just tie them up in as much red tape as you can, be as stubborn as you can, and make it as impossible as you can for them to get anything done. Be as polite and as logical as you can during the process, and refuse to comply with your own enslavement. That's what people need to do. You know, when is the last time you completely disconnected from the system? Now, like I said, in the last week, I've just done nothing. I've gone out and I've looked at waterfalls and wandered around the hills and just enjoyed nature and just enjoyed being alive. It's been an amazing experience and an incredibly empowering experience as well. You know, and I live my life giving to people. That's basically what I do most of the time. I'm either working, creating radio shows, working on films, touring, lecturing, trying to empower people and giving to people. You know, I give to charities if I can. I give to homeless people when I can. Sometimes I buy the groceries of the person next to me in the supermarket if I can. I go to foreign countries and try to help people in hardship as much as I can. And all of these sorts of things contribute to making a better world and contribute to shining the light on people and contribute to empowering people. And because I live my life that way, I don't ever really want for anything. I don't know how it really works, but the universe guides me. God guides me, whatever it is that guides me. You can call it God if that's what makes you feel comfortable. I don't know what it is. The force that is there just guides me through it all, and it just works. And I can see so much potential for humanity. I really can. I can see what we once were, and I can see what we have the potential of becoming again, and I really believe it would be quite easy for us to regain this potential if we can regain some concept of ourselves and just how powerful we are, what this whole experience is really all about. Now, so many of us, I think, have come here to shine the light on this entire chaotic system, shine the light on the darkness. Perhaps that is what attracts the darkness to this realm, because of the amount of light some of the people in this place are actually shining. There are some incredibly bright lights amongst humanity at this time. There really are. With all of the darkness that is happening, with all of the evil that is oppressing us, with this whole smart grid coming down, there are still some incredibly bright lights that are shining in amongst it all. Flames that just refuse to go out and refuse to stop broadcasting their light. You know, I'm seeing more and more of it. You know, the darker it gets, the more bright people tend to shine. Those that do have that little spark of light that's in them that was never ignited, it often gets ignited by the oncoming darkness. You know, people get to the point where their backs are at the wall, and some of them just begin to shine at that point. And that's what I think we're going to see. But it's an interesting thing, because it's almost like a polar opposite is happening. There's a reverse effect, because the brighter people shine, the more dark it gets, and the more dark it gets, the brighter people shine. But the brighter they shine, the more darkness they attract to try to repress that shine. But if they can just continue shining, if they can just continue to be in their light and to be confident in what they are and polite and logical in what they say, I think they will find that they can make a difference. They can influence the people around them into standing up for themselves as well. They can inspire people simply by shining their light. You know, in shining the light, it sounds all very new age, but really, light is information. And really, all you need is the real information, the correct information about yourself, and to stand in that, and you begin to shine by default. It's a very easy thing for people to do. And we are seeing more and more of it. And through it all, through everything that's happening, through all of the oppression and evil that's coming, if you can maintain a smile and maintain a high level of frequency, a high vibration, if you will, not to get new age about it again, but just maintain your energy level high, always stay in a state of giving, always stay in a state of comfort and surety, knowing who and what you are, then you'll find that you become pretty well impervious to most of this stuff. It just doesn't touch you. It can't reach you. It can't really get a hold on you. I think that's how I've been able to get through my life, 60 years now of just bouncing around and doing this, and it's always just worked, I think, because of keeping that confidence and that high level of energy. I think it really does help in repelling what this system thinks it can do to you. And through all this, through everything that's coming, don't lose heart. Always maintain your confidence, and don't think that you can't get through it, because you can. We can all get through this. We can all get to a better future if we maintain our confidence through this and maintain our focus and maintain our energy levels and not buy into all of the distractions, all of the division, all of the divide and conquer, all of the other stuff. Keep our focus on the system and what the system is intended to do to us and how we can circumvent this before it happens. Because we have to do it now while we have some form of accountability still in place. As I said, it's not going to happen once it all goes over to AI. But even when it does all go over to AI, it's your choice as to whether to comply with it or not. I know I won't be complying with it. I'll just be living my life here in the country and doing the things I've always done. I won't be participating in their smart system at all. If it gets to the point where I can't travel without one of their smart ID cards or whatever, well, fine, I won't travel. I've already done enough of that anyway. But it's a very interesting time we're in, folks, and it's going to be very interesting to see where we go. But I think, as I said, the more dark it gets, the more people are shining their light, and I think we're going to see more and more of it. So through all this, don't lose heart. Do keep your confidence up and inspire others to shine their light the way you are doing. You know, that's all I've ever done, ladies and gentlemen. I've just attempted to inspire people. Just come onto the shows and just offer a perspective and hopefully offer some inspiration and some form of help to people in the rediscovery of themselves. Some sort of guidance, maybe by showing you where I've messed up and showing you what my path has been. Perhaps I can help you find your way on your path. And I don't pretend to have all the answers. And half of the time when I come out and I do these shows, I'm not attempting to provide you with answers. I'm just attempting to stimulate the questions within you. Like the show that I did recently, Why Are They Hiding History? So many people attempted to provide me with answers to the many questions that I asked. I didn't see the point that I wasn't looking for answers. I was simply attempting to inspire the urge within others to ask the questions to begin with, because I think asking the questions is the most important part. You know, it's when we think we have the answer that the problem arises. Too many people find different answers to different mysteries because they go down different rabbit holes, and that's, again, what it's all designed to do. People can't agree to disagree. They can't ever ask the question of why the mystery exists to begin with, because that's the question that needs answering. You know, really, when you look at it, folks, you find that everything's been hidden from us to such an incredible degree. But what has been hidden from us more than anything is our own personal power, our real knowledge of what it means to be a human being, and what our relationship to life is, what our relationship to other people is. This is something many people go through their whole lives attempting to find, the meaning of life, or whatever you want to call it. You know, really, it's about your relationship with life, your relationship with this world, and your relationship with the creative source of everything. Whatever you want to call it, whether you want to call it source, whether you want to call it God, whatever you want to call it, But whatever it is, whatever that source is, that creative spark, allow your own relationship to develop with it. Don't allow that relationship to be influenced by anything else, by any other book or any other teachings or any other doctrine, because all of these things came from the hand of man anyway. Something might be brought to you, you say, well, this was comes from the hand of God. Well, I would suggest that God didn't really have a hand, that if it was penned by someone, then that someone was a living human being, whether they were channeling the information or whatever. I mean, and speaking of channeled information, I find that to be an interesting set of double standards, really, when a lot of biblical people say they don't like New Age people because of all the channeled information, and yet when you look at the Bible, essentially the Bible is all channeled information. But whatever information we're referring to, whether it's the Bible or whether it's simply someone else's teachings, if it's something that is written down in a book, then what they are doing is they're describing for you their relationship with this source of creation. And really, you have your own relationship with this source of creation. It exists there within you, within your heart, a direct line to God, whatever you want to call it. It's there within everybody. And once you find that and you see how strong that is, then you begin to realize that there is no force on this earth that is more powerful than that connection. There is no force on this earth that can hurt you if you know who and what you are. Even if they choose to end your life in this vessel, they still cannot hurt you, because you are not this vessel. You are the creative force of life itself that simply inhabits that vessel for this experience. And this experience is turning into something very dark and very controlled and very totalitarian, simply because people have forgotten about this connection and they don't really know how to rediscover it. They look for it in the latest iPhone or the latest app or the latest interpretation of some new religious doctrine, or perhaps in the latest form of trendy chemical amusement aid that can be given to them, when really it exists in their own heart and it's been there all the time. You know, with everything, folks, with this entire quagmire, this entire mess, all of these different cultural extremes and all of these different religious ideologies, all of these supremacist groups, Zionism, the whole Jewish question, everything, you know, with all of it, folks, you know, you can't really blame any of the people who adhere to any of these faiths or carry out any of these atrocities or crimes. You can't really blame people for what they do, because people are so heavily programmed in every single aspect of their lives. It doesn't matter what nation they come from, what country they come from, what religious doctrine they adhere to, what political party they believe in, what issue they're focused on. Now, all of it is so controlled, all of it is so much due to programming, and none of it really focuses on the root core of the problem, which is the true loss of self of all of mankind. You know, if people were to just put down all this stuff, take off all the baggage, all the programming that has been installed into them, all the software that's been installed into them, and just leave themselves there, naked against the universe, their souls bare against the world, perhaps they may see just how much of these unnecessary trappings they're carrying around and what it does to create this division, and how free they could be if they could just put all of this software down. You know, when I was a child, I always viewed myself as a misfit, as someone who just would never ever make it in the world, because I just couldn't understand how the world works. I couldn't understand how people just could have these mundane conversations and fit into this system. I couldn't understand how people could see the system is real. And there are so many people who feel like that now, so many people who feel like they are misfits, but you're not a misfit. You know, as said by Jiddu Krishnamurti, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And it's true, so don't lose heart in yourself and don't think that you are a misfit. Just shine your light and realize that you do have this connection to source. We all have it, and we don't have to do any of this stuff. All we have to do is stand up for ourselves and ask the right questions. And don't direct your questions at the police. These guys are brain dead thugs. Don't think you're going to get any sanity from them. But
inspire people around you to ask questions of politicians, inspire people around you to stand up for themselves and to stop participating in their own enslavement, and you will make a difference. But again, the more light you shine, the more darkness is going to come for you, because darkness is attracted by the light. That's what draws it. And perhaps there's a clue there as to what is really going on here as well. Suffice to say, we are most certainly at a very, very interesting time in the human experience. But with everything that's coming, well, the fat lady hasn't sung yet. And I think there is still a light at the end of the tunnel if people can just get motivated and get involved in the community around them. But again, in order to do that, they really have to get involved in themselves. They've got to really look inside themselves and find that spark of light that's in there, because it is in there. You do have this direct connection to this incredible power that exists dormant within your heart. It's there in everybody. The problem is that people just don't realize it's there. Everyone's too focused on getting someone else to come and save them, when really, if they find that spark in themselves, they will realize that they're the only ones who can save them. They're the only ones who ever could. And once that spark is ignited, it's an incredibly powerful force. And if it can get ignited in everybody, will change the world in a day. It really will be that simple to do, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a profoundly easy thing to do once you discover that light in there. It's just an incredibly hard thing for people to discover sometimes, because often it's buried so deep and people are in fear of ever really seeing it. But it's there. It's time to look, and it's time to find it, and it's time to ignite that spark. The world needs you. Your children need you. We all need you to now ignite this spark. Well, we have now reached that time where it is the end of the show. And it's been a pleasure coming and speaking to you today, folks. And I apologize if I went off on a few esoteric tangents. I didn't really know where I was going when I began the show. I don't really know where I'm going when I start the shows. I just sort of come on here and talk and see where it ends up. And sometimes the tangents end up surprising me as much as I'm sure they surprise you. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you to all those who continue to send me so many kind emails. It's been great to receive them all. I've got a big mass of emails here I've got to get through. I'm going to spend the next week attempting to answer a whole bunch of emails. So you might actually get something in the mail from me if you've been someone who's been waiting for a while. I want to get that cleaned up a little bit, because I've got a huge backlog in my email box. Something else I want to put out here that I've been meaning to announce for weeks is a huge thank you and the announcement of a Spanish Crow House channel that has opened on YouTube. There's a man who is getting my weekly shows, and he is replacing my voice with a Spanish voice, and so the shows are getting out to the Spanish-speaking world. So if you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and you look in the radio archives, you will find a link to the Crow House Espanol YouTube channel, and you'll also find a link to it on my YouTube channel, The Crow House. You'll find a link there in the related channels section on the right, which links to The Crow House Espanol. And again, a huge thank you to the man who's done that for me. Very motivated people, the Spanish, good people to get informed, and it's great to see the message getting out to the Spanish-speaking world. Thank you to all those who continue to support the show and support the website on Patreon. Again, you are the only people who keep this show on the air. You're the only people who keep me going. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you. I don't have any talks booked coming up, folks. I've actually not booked any talks at all until Acapulco next February, and I'll let you know if I'm going to do the TED Talk in the Azores. I still haven't decided on that one. I am certainly being enticed by the lure of sunken ruins, and the Azores is just a beautiful place that I would love to visit anyway, but I'll just see how I go in the next couple of weeks, whether I feel like I have the energy levels high enough to do that. It's been quite a grueling last couple of years, folks. 19 months of travel has really taken its toll on me physically and health-wise, and it's begun to become quite noticeable now that I've actually gotten home and been able to unwind and sit back in my own space for a while. I'm beginning to notice just what a toll it has taken on me physically to have done that last trip the way I did. Perhaps I'm a little zealous, folks. I think I'm still a teenager and I can travel the way I did when I was a young rock and roll musician. It doesn't really work that way now that I'm an old lecturer. So that's something to take into account. It's really interesting getting old, folks.
When you get old, your mind doesn't get old. Your body just gets more decrepit. It's quite uncomfortable. The aging process is really not something that I enjoy at all. But anyway, I'm getting off topic and babbling. But it's been a pleasure coming and speaking to you again this week, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. And don't lose heart with anything that's coming, because you hold the light and you can find the way through this. In La Cache.